Welcome to the Zephyr Hills Alliance Church Podcast, where two pastors process the context of church and the practice of discipleship. Today on the podcast, Ted and I talk about the gift of encouragement, being able to see the positive potential in someone else and call it out, connecting it to the goodness of God and His purposes in the world. We read a passage from Acts 11 about Barnabas, and we talk a little bit about Easter. Thanks for joining us. This is episode 32 of the Zach Pod. I was thinking about Easter, and I was thinking about, have you had like a impactful Easter moment or Easter service over the course of your ministry? I know you love a breakfast.
Oh, breakfast is great. Yeah, we're always up for breakfast on Easter.
Yeah.
Probably impactful Easter services. Yeah, I'd have to think.
Yeah, what comes to your mind? Or it doesn't have to be necessarily one that you were leading, but just like, you know, like what comes to your mind when you think about celebrating Easter?
I think.
And like a moment that was stood out.
I think, always celebrating Easter, celebrating the resurrection has always been tremendous. I think one year, I believe, when we were down in South Florida, we had Easter sunrise on the beach, but we did a baptism on the beach. Mm. And we had, I believe, if I remember correctly, we had two individuals being baptized. And it was just tremendous to see the transformation from them being baptized and just going out on a limb saying, yes, I want to follow Jesus and I want to obey him in this. And one younger man and young lady, not related, but two different families. And it was just amazing to see the transformation. And just the joy on their faces just gave evidence that, you know, Christ is alive, living within them, and wanting to move them forward in his relationship with them. And so, to me, that stands out.
Sunrise on the beach.
Sunrise on the beach.
How do you do a beach baptism when people, when like waves are coming?
Man, it was,
you just go for it?
It was early in the morning, the sun was coming up, and there wasn't too many people on the beach. Mm. And it was our folks. There was probably about maybe 15 to 20.
Okay.
We were down there, and of course, I was cold, but I think I wore a long-sleeve t-shirt that I could get wet. My associate pastor was with me and myself, and we went out in the water knee-deep.
In the water.
Yeah, we just went knee-deep. Okay. And then a little bit further, probably about waist-deep. And
okay.
Then, so you could...
Yeah, because you got to be able to dunk somebody.
Submerse, that's the word. Submerse the person under the water and bring them back up.
Submerge them.
Probably the coldness of the water and just the step of faith and their own personal commitment plus the crashing waves, you know, and the coolness, probably all added to them.
Yeah.
But that evidence there. So it's kind of cool when you do that.
Somebody told me a story about a wedding that they did, and they were all on surfboards, you know. So the preacher or whoever, the officiant was sitting on a surfboard, and then the bride and groom are sitting on surfboards. And I don't know, maybe their wedding party, I don't know if there was anybody else out there with them, and everybody else was, you know, watching from the shore. It wasn't too far off. So the guy goes, hey, can I have the ring, right? And the best man or whoever goes to give the ring, and then he drops it into the water.
Oh, no.
But it was all planned because that was like a fake ring, and he had one of his buddies in like scuba gear underneath the water, and so this hand just comes up with the ring.
And that's great.
He takes the ring from his hand, great. And the guy goes back down.
That is
Isn't that
so
fantastic?
Cool. That is fantastic.
Talk about a memorable
He didn't fall
wedding.
Off. You know, those paddle boards, you know, we just recently spent some time on Crystal River to see the manatee and with relatives. But there was a lot of people on paddle boards.
Oh, yeah?
I kept thinking of Ashley on paddle boards, you know, because people are standing up. But
those
things are pretty stable, it looks like.
I'm not great at it. Ashley loves a stand-up paddle board. But you can sit on them, too. You don't have to.
Yeah, there was people sitting on them and paddling away. But it seems like you could do a lot of things with that. That would be one idea. I think on a beach with the waves crashing in. At that morning, that particular time, it was, it'd be pretty hard to do paddle boards.
Yeah, exactly. I'm not sure how you got a pretty still water.
But it's kind of cool.
And Easter, I really remember, was when we were in China, and we invited some kids. So it was mostly like our friends' children or like a couple people from the Chinese kindergarten where Journey and River would go. At this point, I was pretty good at Chinese. It was our last year there before we went on our home assignment. And so my language was basically at its peak at that point. We invited them over to our house and we colored eggs. So we did dyeing eggs. And then we took them for like an Easter egg hunt. We hid some, and so it was our kids and some Chinese kids, and they were running around finding the eggs in the yard and, you know, finding the candy in the eggs. And they thought that was pretty cool. One of them came dressed up in a Halloween costume because he was a little confused because in Chinese you say Fu Ho Jia, which means resurrection.
Oh, okay.
But it also sounds a little bit like a zombie. Like that word.
Okay.
And so if you have no idea, the guy was like, oh, Fu Ho Jia, I'm going to, that's what you say for Easter.
Yeah.
And he's like, oh yeah. So one guy was like dressed in a Halloween costume. He was the only one. So he took it off for when he got there. But I used this little book and I told the Easter story. I was speaking Chinese, but then I had a friend there who was like helping me translate too, just to make sure.
Yes.
This was, but I did it in pretty like basic Chinese, you know, one of the kids. So I was telling the story of them and Jesus was put on a cross. And one of the Chinese kids was like, man, those Americans are so serious with their punishments. And I was like, Jesus wasn't American. This didn't happen in America. And you know how when a kid looks at you like they think you're lying or like
right.
they think yeah. you're messing with them?
Yeah.
He's like, I know he was American. And I'm like, you know, in Chinese, he's saying this. He's like, he was American. He's looking at his friends
very
like,
American.
Obviously he was American, right? And
yeah.
I'm like, no, this happened a long time ago. This is before America was even a country. He was not convinced at all. He's 100% sure I was lying to him about who Jesus was.
That's so funny.
That Jesus was an American.
The zombie, you got tied in with Lazarus.
Yeah.
That would have been cool. Lazarus, come forth.
He was super confused. I don't know if I helped him very much, but it was a really special Easter, you know, getting to share the story with people who'd never
Absolutely.
Heard the story. You know, isn't that cool?
Yeah, it is cool. No, I think when you think about that, you know, baptism or just celebrating Easter, the resurrection of Christ, new life in Christ. He offers new life for all who believe in him. The old is gone, the new has come. And it's exciting to celebrate that and to remember that every year.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And to have a good breakfast, too.
Yeah. So we're talking about spiritual gifts.
Spiritual gifts.
Our main verse that we're kind of like guiding this conversation is from 1 Peter 4, where it talks about a few of the gifts, and it's, if anyone serves, they should do so with the strength that God provides, so that in all things God may be praised through Jesus, and to him be the glory and the power, recognizing that like the point of these gifts is to build each other up and honor God, you know?
Yes.
So that in all things God may be praised. So I thought there's a list. There's a list in 1 Corinthians. There's a list in Romans. And I thought we would just dive into the list. And we're going to start today with the gift of encouragement.
All right. I'm encouraged to hear that.
Encouragement.
Yes.
So this
Beautiful
is...
Beautiful gift.
I think it's in the Romans list. It uses the word encouragement in some translations. The older translations say exhortation.
Yes.
He that exhorteth, let him exhort in the name... In the
Exhort.
Power of God.
Yeah.
So, yeah, what do you think about that word encouragement? Like, if you were going to define that word or, like, express how, you know, what it means to be encouraged or to encourage someone, how would you describe the gift of encouragement?
The gift of, I think, of individuals, and we had a brother in our fellowship here that he's now with Jesus, so he's greatly encouraged. He had the gift of encouragement. And no matter where you were in your walk with God or your circumstances in life, he always was able to come alongside and listen, and then not only listen, but to encourage, to build up, to lift up, to see the situation maybe in a different perspective, not doom and gloom, but to be able to say, okay, you know, point to the positive directions that God was working, God's in control, God still got it, and be able to speak that into the person's life. Sometimes that individual didn't say any word. He just came alongside to listen. Sometimes he gave a good word, and sometimes he just, you know, was being a friend.
It had something to do with optimism, the way you described it just
now. Yeah,
like...
I would say being optimistic. You know, some people say it's the power of positive thinking, but I think it's more than that. It derives from being in tune definitely with the Holy Spirit, because it's part of the gifts of the Holy Spirit. You're able to encourage, to build up, to see the potential, to see God working, and then to have the faith to know that God can do that. And then to walk in that direction. And so the gift of encouragement, sometimes we look at biblical characters and We like to say, oh, that person has the gift of teaching, or that person has a gift of faith. Well, you know, we think of Barnabas and the...
Yeah, we're going to get to the scripture which is about Barnabas in a minute.
Yeah, so. Barnabas definitely had that gift of encouragement.
Sure.
And and I think it's a person who believes in the potential of others. I think that's part of that encouragement. Mm. I'm coming alongside you because I see God's ability to work in your life and the potential that you have to serve God, and they are able to encourage you, build you up.
That's really interesting. So it's
coach you forward.
Believing in the potential of others. It's believing in what God has for them,
yes,
is what you just said, right? That God,
yes,
is able to, and then also believing, you know, in that person because of who God is, then believing in that person. So it's like a vision. It's like being able to see something that maybe that person can't see in the moment, and then communicating it.
Yeah,
somehow,
being,
right,
able to, yeah, come alongside. It's being able to let, okay, you know, you may not see God working in you in the moment that you're facing, but that individual comes alongside and they're able to. They have that confidence in God's ability that he's at work, and they're able to just hang in there with you, to encourage you forward. And then when you reach that potential, I mean, it's amazing,
yeah,
what God can do.
To be encouraged, you know, that word courage is there. So it's,
yes,
to be filled up with courage, to, which is like a belief, right?
Courage is
like a belief that you're able to, you know, well, you know what it means, right?
Yeah, you're
to
not
have courage.
You're not being tied, you know, you're not being strangled. Being encouraged.
Yeah, the opposite would be discouraged.
Yeah, right? Discouraged. So you're not afraid. I mean, in the moment you are afraid, someone comes along and encourages you to, yeah, go for it. Go for it. You know, take that step.
Right. You could imagine like a risk, you know, stepping out in a certain way, and you need to be encouraged. You need to be like coaxed into it, to be filled with courage, to be told, hey, you can do this.
Yeah.
And that involves, seeing potential.
Seeing potential, on that. And in the gifts of the Spirit, I think it's being encouraged in your walk to go deeper with Christ, to believe God for the impossible, to step out on faith, to trust him for the miraculous. You know, all that deals with the body life of the believer filled with the Holy Spirit, that encouragement. Well, to be more loving toward that person who is antagonizing you, you know, those kind of things, to act and to behave like Jesus, but not in your own strength, but just allow God to do it, because we can't do it without the Holy Spirit's help.
Yeah. So to be encouraged is to be pushed into that a little bit, or enticed into that through somebody else coming alongside, seeing the vision. So the word in the Greek is parakaleo, which a lot of times gets translated exhort.
Yes.
Or beseech, right? So another time that word is used is in Matthew 8, when Jesus casts the legion of demons, or the legion of demons in the person, and it says the demons begged Jesus, if you drive us out, send us into the herd of pigs. That word begged there is the same word, parakaleo. Then the whole town went out to meet Jesus, and when they saw him, they pleaded with him to leave their region. That's the same word. They pleaded with him. So to beseech, to beg, to plead. Interesting, because that's not what I would associate with encourage, but technically that's the same word, in Greek. Another way that it gets used is the idea of comfort, right? Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. That word there is parakalepsis. It's the same, the same word, right? So to beseech and also to comfort, those don't seem like the same thing, but that's the same Greek word. Acts 16:40, this is the last one I have that's the same use. After Paul and Silas came out of prison, they went to Lydia's house, where they went with the brothers and sisters and encouraged them, comforted them, exhorted them, parakaleo.
Yeah.
It's the same. So on one hand, that helps us get like a more well-rounded picture of this word. On the other hand, it's a little bit confusing to me when I see all those different uses for it.
Sure.
You know?
Sure.
And that makes me feel like kind of what we talked about earlier, where like, some people are like, hey, this is the list of gifts. These are the only ways that the Spirit can move in you, or the only ways the Spirit can use you. Which gift do you have? Let's make sure we know which one, where you are on the list.
Yeah.
Well, okay, I think this is sort of an argument against that, because this word could mean a lot of different things. There's a lot of different ways that the Lord, and you know, we tie a whole lot to these specific words. Encouragement means one thing to you and me, but begging and pleading and comfort, you know, those can be related, but do you see what I mean? They can be a little bit different.
So. Well, I think at times when we are around an individual who's able to give you that gift of encouragement. Sometimes it is them not saying anything. They're just there. And in that moment, their presence is bringing comfort for that. Then there's other times when they're saying, don't you see? Don't you see? You got it. You could do this. You could do this. There's that begging, that pleading. You could do this, you know, that kind of thing.
Right.
And it's up to you as a follower of Christ. Okay, are you receiving that? You know, and it is a is it a message from the Lord? And if it is, then to step in faith obediently. So sometimes the gift of encouragement plants seeds. Sometimes it's consistent in the process of ministering. And then sometimes it takes a while for the harvest of that encouragement to take fruit, and there's reconciliation from that.
Yeah, I was surprised of which Greek word it was, parakaleo, because it sounds a lot like parakletos, which is the word for the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
It's a word that in, I guess it's John 16, very truly I tell you, it's for your good that I'm going away. Unless I go away, the advocate will not come to you.
Yeah.
It's called the advocate. He's called the comforter. And that's the word parakletos.
And the helper.
Advocate or comforter. And that's really interesting to me that, like, if you're exercising, I mean, obviously it's a gift of the Spirit, right? So it makes total sense. But it, I found it really awesome that that's essentially the same word or very similar word, because when you're encouraging someone, you are being an advocate or a comforter. You're being the Holy Spirit to them, or the Holy Spirit through you is doing this thing, right? When you are being encouraged, it's the ministry of the Holy Spirit to you. And that's pretty neat.
That is pretty neat. Yeah, that as brothers and sisters in Christ, we can be advocates for one another in that way.
When's a time that you needed, so you talked about a person that was encouraging. I know definitely there's a guy that I think of. I don't know if it's like he's naturally an encourager or if he has to try, but I do know that every time I talk to him, I'm super encouraged, you know?
Yeah.
And it's very much what you said at the beginning, that he's seeing God's vision, or he's believing in a better thing, and he's calling it out. He's like saying, hey, you know, you're like this, you're like this, and this is what I see, and this is, and it's always like super, super encouraging.
Mm-hmm.
It takes something to be able to do that, you know, because you're speaking into a person's life when you do that. But yeah, I don't know if, like I said, I don't know if it's just the way that he's wired, but I do know every time I talk to him at all, I'm super encouraged. It's great. It's always great to talk to him. There's people who are not like that. You know what I mean?
Yeah, we need more people like that.
He's definitely like that.
Yeah, we need more people that can speak, you know, in a loving way, you know, speak the truth in love. We got people that like to speak the truth.
Yeah, don't I'm loving me. You by but, telling you this.
I love you, but I'm going to tell you something, you know. And we need that bold, truthful, honest dialogue, but it needs to be really just flooded with Christ-like love in that sense.
Well, and it takes boldness to do the other thing, to call out
think,
like who you can be and who you
are.
Like,
but I think seeing somebody knowing, okay, what I'm going to share with you, you may not see it yet, but this is to encourage you.
Mm.
You know, I see that you have the potential of, or I see you as you're following this discipline or thinking about this issue, you know, as you lay it before the Lord. I believe God wants this to happen because of maybe their past experience or because of promises from God's word that's speaking to them and through them to you. And I think God can do that. There was another lady, wonderful saint in the Lord, and I use that word because she was the founder's wife of Lake Swan Camp, Laureen Minder. She's with the Lord now. But when I was executive director of the camp, I made a commitment that I would check on her, because she lived on the campgrounds, every day, just to make sure that she's thriving and more than surviving. And every time I would visit with her, I left like I was walking on clouds of heaven.
Wow.
Because she had the gift of encouragement. Yeah. I went there to encourage her, to pray with her, to meet whatever needs she had, whether they were physical needs, whatever. I always left like, man, I'm just walking in victory, triumphant. God's on the throne. Hallelujah. Mm-hmm. Let's rock and roll for Jesus, you know. And it was, she just had that wonderful sense. And I think people who have that gift of encouragement, they have an awareness. And we say it all the time, God's with me always. Jesus is with me always. He'll never leave me. But I think people who have the gift of encouragement have that wonderful, maybe it's 24-hour, every second of the day sense that Christ is with them right now.
Mm-hmm.
And they're able to express that through just fellowship with other people, you know, hanging out. What a blessing that is to be encouraged. Because, you know, I would come in and she'd ask me how the camp was doing. And I would say, well, right now it's not doing well financially. She goes, well, let me tell you this. And she'd share a story from her past,
right,
how God would miraculously provide, and just say, you know, you need to keep trusting. God's got something in this. And he always did and always does.
That's cool.
And it's very cool.
It's this combination of a positive outlook.
Yes.
Which is really grounded in the belief that God's good. And then the willingness to communicate that to another person.
That, yeah.
Because you can have a positive outlook and not share it. And then it's connecting that person's life and situation to the goodness of God and the belief in his goodness and plan. Somewhere in the midst of all that, that's how you are encouraged.
Yeah. In that, you know, well, it's just like, okay, when you go to a restaurant and you've had a great experience, how many people do you tell about that great experience? Or if you go to a restaurant and you have a terrible experience, how many people do you tell about that terrible experience? Mm-hmm. And they've done research that more people tell others about the terrible experience that they've had, so you don't go to that restaurant. I don't think that's encouragement. But there's lesser people who come out and say, well, I had a great experience here. I want you to go here. We need to tell others, listen, I have a great experience walking with Jesus, and this is how he's helped me. And I'm not bragging on me. I'm bragging on him.
Right.
I'm bragging on Jesus. This is how he's worked. And I know he can work in your life that same way. I believe that.
Acts 11:19 through 26. Now, those who had been scattered by the persecution that broke out when Stephen was killed traveled as far as Phoenicia, Cyprus, and Antioch, spreading the word only among Jews. Some of them, however, men from Cyprus and Cyrene, went to Antioch and began to speak to Greeks also, telling them the good news about the Lord Jesus. The Lord's hand was with them, and a great number of people believed and turned to the Lord. News of this reached the church in Jerusalem, and they sent Barnabas to Antioch. When he arrived and saw what the grace of God had done, he was glad and encouraged them all to remain true to the Lord with all their hearts. He was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit and faith, and a great number of people were brought to the Lord. Then Barnabas went to Tarsus to look for Saul, and when he found him, he brought him to Antioch. For a whole year, Barnabas and Saul met with the church and taught great numbers of people. The disciples were called Christians first at Antioch. I pulled out the story about Barnabas. There's a few other ones as well, but we do know Barnabas as the encourager. I think it's wild that his name wasn't actually Barnabas. His name was Joseph. It says in Acts 4, Joseph, a Levite from Cyprus, who the apostles called Barnabas.
Barnabas.
Jesus and the apostles, everybody just be calling people by different names. Yeah. Barnabas means son of encouragement. So they called him Barnabas because he was so encouraging.
He was so encouraging.
His name was actually Joseph. That's
Joseph. Isn't that pretty wild? We won't take time to speculate. Well, what would Jesus call you?
Yeah.
Well, hopefully something wonderful and good like Barnabas. Yeah, I like the description there. 22, you know, it says, well, they went and brought Barnabas to Antioch. And then when he arrived, he saw what God was doing there. And notice, he was glad. And then it says there in verse 23, and encouraged them all. Mm-hmm. And what did he do? He encouraged them to remain true to the Lord with all their hearts. And notice how he's described in verse 24. He was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit and faith. I think that's the key to the gifts of the Spirit, that you are full of the Holy Spirit and you have faith. And that's the beginning. Then God blesses you with the gifts of the Spirit. And a great number of people were brought to the Lord through Barnabas and the church's ministry.
Yeah.
Yes, even so, Lord, do that today.
I think that verse 23 is a really good description, honestly, of how you described encouragement, you know? When he arrived and saw, remember, it's about a vision.
Yeah, that's right. He saw that vision.
What the grace of God had done.
Mm-hmm.
So he had this vision. He just saw. Man, look what God has done.
Yeah.
And he was glad.
Yeah.
So he was just full of that
full of vision,
you know, full of that truth, full of like, man, God's goodness. Look how good this is. And in that, he encouraged them to stay true. So, and stay faithful. But like, that's a pretty good, that's basically how you described encouragement at the beginning, was like believing in the potential of a person and connecting it to the grace and the goodness of God.
And don't you think when you get to see God's goodness and experience God's goodness, Aren't you energized?
Yeah.
I think I am. Man, I'm for energized. Sure. Absolutely. It excites me.
Mm-hmm.
And even to the point, I am going to tell others.
Yeah.
God is good. And it's great. And I notice here in that passage you read, you know, Barnabas, he went, he recognized, man, God's doing something great here in Antioch. I need help. I'm going to get Saul of Tarsus. I heard, you know, he was the enemy of the way. Now he's a follower of Jesus in the way. I'm going to get him. He finds him, brings him to Antioch. And then the whole year, they meet together and they teach. What a tag team that was. And
I think Barnabas was one of the first people that was connected to Saul, like when he first became a believer.
Yeah, I think so.
Barnabas was one of the people who like stood up for him and was like, no, this is, again, he saw the potential in the person and in God's plan. And Barnabas was like, no, this is legit, you know, because Barnabas is there in Jerusalem. We read here, that's where the main council was. That's the same council that learned about Paul and was like, is this guy for real?
You know? Yeah, that's
right. So Barnabas knew him already and trusted him and knew that God had something important for him. So then brought him to that church in Antioch that was apparently really exploding among the Gentiles.
I think individuals who have that gift of encouragement, they also, when they see the goodness of God, they get excited. But then there's an eagerness. Let's go do it.
Mm.
You know, an eagerness to follow the Lord in obedience and faith. I think of when Saul encountered Jesus on the road to Damascus and then had to go to Damascus, and the Lord appears to Ananias and says, I want you to go see this guy, Saul. And Ananias, man, at that point was fearful.
Sure.
He was not excited or eager. Mm. Not saying that Ananias didn't have the gift of encouragement, but at that moment, he sure didn't. He didn't want to have anything to do with it. He said, well, Lord, don't you know this is the guy that arrests people and kills people?
Right.
And the Lord says, I want you to go. Now, thankfully, Ananias did. And the Holy Spirit worked in Ananias and through Ananias. And Ananias laid hands on Saul, and Saul received his sight. God healed him. The Lord Jesus healed him. And there was ministry there.
Sure.
Maybe a different gift mix that from the Spirit that was there. But it was interesting. And here, Barnabas, man, he just says, I need help. Antioch is booming for Jesus. Maybe prayed about it. And Lord says, go get Saul. Oh, I'm going to go get him.
Yeah.
Grab him.
How can we grow in encouragement? How can we become more, you know, encouragers like this, like we read about?
Well, I think it's definitely walking with the Lord Jesus and praying, you know, in a real sense, Lord, not my will, but your will be done. And then maybe being open to, okay, what does that look like? What is God's will, his plan, his agenda, his purpose look like in my life, but also in the life of my brothers or sisters and my family's life? I think when we are following the Lord, we have an overwhelming sense of his presence and purpose. We may not get it right, but God is patient with us. Thank the Lord for that. We have an overwhelming sense of his peace in the midst of conflict and chaos. And so we need today to be those people of peace. But then in that, we can really communicate his presence and peace as we encourage others in the faith. That's why we come to the Word, hopefully daily and weekly and in fellowship and in worship. Because, you know, it says, one of the scriptures that we quote a lot, the joy of the Lord is our, what, strength and our song. And it's the time when we gather together, lift up praise to the Lord. It just ignites praise in others, and we can see God at work, and the gifts are being practiced because we're walking with Christ, we're in the Word, we're in fellowship with other believers, we're in communion with the Lord through prayer. And through that body life, the gifts are being ministered to. We don't always see that, but some of it is happening individually and as well corporately as a big body. And I think to move in that area is, if the Lord is prompting your heart to speak a word, it's not a word of knowledge, it's a word of encouragement to speak a word. Let me encourage you. I always, when I write a letter, I'll always sign a verse or card, and it's not that I'm preaching at people. It's just I want to give them a verse of encouragement, because the word will not return void or empty. And so that's a little nugget, a little treasure. It's like being a chocolate fanatic and having a dark chocolate Hershey's Kiss, you know.
Sure.
It's just that little taste, that little nugget of goodness. from God. And I think if we share the word in that way, not to beat a person up, not to let the Holy Spirit do the conviction.
Right.
The Holy Spirit can do that a lot better than you or I can, but allow the Lord to work in his way, in his timing. But we be faithful to that encouraging word from his word.
Yeah.
So I think that's a connection point there. And not to be afraid to have relationships with people who are struggling.
Yeah.
And not to give them 3 points. This is how you can improve your life. Sometimes it's not that easy. We just need to sit there and be silent. And it'll be awkward at first, but sometimes you just have to listen.
I think you have to see it and you have to be willing to say it. You have to see what God has for a person. Like scripture, you're connected to the goodness of God. But you also have to see like the person's life. Like what can you call out about them that's good and that's positive?
Mm-hmm.
And you have to be willing to, that's that beseeching, that's that saying, exhorting. Part of it's a reminder. Like maybe that person already knows that they're good at this thing or that God's used them in this way, but it feels really good to hear it from somebody else, to have somebody else see it and say, you know what, I've seen this in you. This is who you are. This is what God does through you. And to say it, that's super encouraging. The thing is, you can also see stuff in people that's not good,
right?
Because there's plenty of that too.
There is.
So you think about a person in your life and you're like, man, if I was going to say 5 things about them, I don't think any of them would be positive. They this, they that, they that.
Right.
So that's discouragement. When you say those things,
behavior,
when you say those things, that doesn't mean those things aren't true. I mean, they are. You can observe them.
Right.
But if you say them, that's discouragement. If instead you can find the positive thing to say, to call them out of maybe their bad behavior or their negativity, you have to bring a positive outlook to it. The look that like God is in control and God is good.
Yeah.
And God has used you. God can use you. There's ways even right now in your negative state that God is using you. Like when you can say those things, that brings encouragement. And that I hope inspires people to look up from
whatever
their negative outlook or their whatever,
I think there has to be an openness to hear.
Well, sure.
Absolutely. Yeah. And I think a lot of times one of the bad things that we do in the church is we're so fearful of losing control that, we'll say, we come across bold and strong. I mean, yes, sin is sin, but sometimes, we'll say, oh, don't do that. I remember years ago, former Alliance pastor, he's now with the Lord too. I'm getting old.
All your stories,
these saints, but memories come back now. And he told me, I was camp director at the time over 20-something years ago, and I played classical guitar, just a hymn arrangement during offertory when people would take offerings in the service. There was that moment. You could do an instrumental or a solo, and I played an instrumental piece. And this retired pastor, who was also a mayor of a local city, came up to me, and he was also a pianist. He said to me these words. He says, don't ever let anyone tell you to stop playing guitar like that for the Lord. And, that was so encouraging because early on in my years, guitar was not welcomed in churches, and it was not accepted as a worship instrument. It was considered, rock and roll, and that's of the devil. So there's that offense there. But his encouraging word said, God, I see God has used this in your life as a gift he's given you, so keep at it. And that has echoed off and on in my life since then. And that had to be
that
over 30-some years ago.
So powerful the way that encouragement can last,
It is.
In a moment like that, just somebody says a thing and it sticks with you. And unfortunately, the opposite can be true too.
And the opposite can be true
too. A discouraging word can stick with you. And we both have those that we remember.
We have those.
I think even in the example of Paul and Barnabas, when they had their breakup, what was it over? It was over another person's giftedness or lack thereof. Barnabas, who saw the potential of this person.
Yes.
Because he's an encourager, and that's what an encourager will do, right?
Mm-hmm.
Is they'll see God's plan and potential for this person, like he saw with Paul.
Oh, yeah.
Like you saw with this guy. And Paul was like, I don't know. Paul didn't see it.
Yeah, he didn't see it.
And they split up over it, right?
They did.
Now, it's not like in this, it's not who's wrong or who's right, but who's positive and who's negative in this situation is clear.
Yeah.
Paul was no,
yes.
And Barnabas was yes. He was on the affirmative, the positive
side.
And whatever, we don't know the argument. We don't know the people. This is just a situation we've read about in Scripture. But you can see, I think, the roots of a person who's grounded in the goodness of God and the positivity, you know, and like wanting to bet on somebody. Mm-hmm. So I think if you want to grow in encouragement, that's what you're really growing in, is being willing to bet on the potential of somebody.
Yeah.
In order to do that, you have to know who God is. You have to be really grounded in trust and in God. And then you have to be willing to go out there and say it, you know?
Yeah, that's like, right.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a good thing. Good word.
Thanks for listening to this episode of The Zacpod. All of our content is created in-house by the ZAC Media Team. To learn more about the ministries of our church, follow us on Instagram or Facebook, and subscribe to our newsletter at zaccma.org. If you like what we're doing, please share the podcast with a friend and subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts.